God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This day we celebrate All Saints' Day, and it's a day typically we remember those who have died in the faith, who are now with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of the faith that God has given them, because God does keep his promises, and because of their trust in God's keeping of those promises, we have confidence. We know, based on what God's Word says, they are with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now today, as we remember those saints, I don't know about you, but there are some of those saints who have particularly touched my heart. There have been those saints who have instructed me in the faith, have encouraged me with their good deeds, and have set an example for me to follow. I don't know who was very instrumental in growing and nurturing the faith within you through that Holy Spirit, but God uses many people. And usually when I think of those, I don't know what you want to call them, theological greats per se, not that they necessarily understood a lot of theology, but they had their faith and trust in God and God alone. When I see them in action, and I remember their deeds, and I sometimes wonder, wow, wouldn't it be great that if I could have a faith like that? In times of persecution, like the early church, being willing to go to death for the faith, I wonder, wouldn't it be great to have a faith like that? Or seeing some of the saints who, even in the midst of their physical world sort of falling down around them, they still said, I still believe that yes, there is a God, and God will deliver me. I sort of shake my head and go, wow, what a faith. What a trust in the Almighty God. Even in the midst of losing your physical life or all the things around you, they still believed and trusted in God. That's what All Saints' Day is all about, as we remember those strong figures of old, or maybe they are still living and still have an impact in your life. Our text today from Isaiah chapter 26 gives us a song, so to speak, that Isaiah wanted the people on earth to know and to listen to and understand, a song about that last day, so to speak. And that's why our text begins, in that day, referring to the joyous triumphant when God returns again. This song will be sung in the land of Judah. What's interesting about this song, as our text for today picks up some of the selected verses of Isaiah chapter 26, is who is the song, who's the major subject of the song? The major subject on the song is what God has done. You see, and that's a very important link here. Because as we remember those saints of old, or maybe they're still living with us, those saints who have made a great impact upon our lives, if you would ask them, what is the basis of their faith? They would say, how God has blessed me. Notice they wouldn't probably say, well, you know, I'm pretty strong in the faith. You know, I've studied pretty well. No, they would always put the focus and the energy back upon who it really belongs to. It belongs to God, because God is the one who gives it. So notice as this song, which is kind of neat, I don't know if we would ever sing this in church per se. It'd be kind of a long song, and we don't know the melody to it. But just picking up the words of how does God want us to sort of sing a song to him? This is how the song would go. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. That first section I just want to cover for a moment. Notice where the song boasts in its strength. Yes, in a city, what makes a city strong? Its walls, its ramparts. But what is the medium by which the walls and ramparts are made of? Notice it's not with brick. It's not with stone. Those things can fall. And strangely enough, right after Isaiah wrote this, after he communicated this to the people, so to speak, what happened to Israel? What happened to the city of Jerusalem? It was sacked. And its inhabitants were taken off into exile. No, walls made of stone and brick and mortar will fall apart in time or with an invading force. But not these walls, because God makes salvation. God's salvation is its walls and ramparts. Yes, you will have luck against walls made of brick and stone, regardless whether you believe in the three little pigs or not. But when it comes to God's wall of salvation, His promises, His grace, nothing can withstand against it. Our text continues. It says, open the gates. This is a good thing. We don't want to come to the city and find that its gates are permanently shut and we can't get in. Open its gates that the righteous may enter. And now it starts naming the what the righteous are like. The nation that keeps faith. Those who keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And then there's a phrase, trust in the Lord. For the Lord is, and the NIV translates it, rock eternal. The actual Hebrew of Hebrew, so to speak, is probably a familiar phrase that you've heard of, rock of ages. Now, that describes who God is. It describes those who are going to be in this holy city, so to speak, those who continue to put their faith and trust in Him. So it goes on to say, yes, Lord, walking the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name, your renown are the desires of our hearts. And then it goes on a little bit more. We set the stage of what heaven's going to be like. Nothing can take that away. It is the faith that God gives to us, our trust in that faith, that is the key that opens the gate for us to go into. Now, talking about those saints for a moment, I will admit, whenever I preach a funeral message, we always talk about God's grace. That is what we're hanging on to for eternal life, God's grace. But I'm also a little bit cautious. I do want to talk about the various good things that the person has done in faith. But here's where the caution comes in. Is with any saint, even those who were thrown to the lions in the early Christian church, being persecuted for the faith, even our mentors in life who seem to have those strong faith, even people like you and people like me, pastors are not immune to this, we still have fallen short of God's glory. There are still those sins, those shortcomings within us. We have to keep that in proper perspective. This is why we need a Savior. Some of you may be saying, but Pastor, why do you want to be cautious? And the answer is, I don't want to make it sound like the person lived a perfect life here on earth. We all have made mistakes. We all have sinned against somebody. We all have fallen short of God's glory. We have all disappointed. And we have not kept our promises. We have broken our promises no matter how hard we try. But God's promise is eternal, complete. Getting back to that funeral message concept, we bring up the concept that, yes, God's glory is complete. He does not break His promises, but yet within us, our human sinful nature must be realized. Strangely enough, this song in Isaiah picks up a very similar point. It actually is brought up in verses 12 and 13, even though they're not numbered here. But let me read them for you. Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us. But your name alone do we honor. Let me pick up that stanza 13 for a moment. O Lord, our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us. Isn't that interesting? This is the song that the saints were supposed to sing here on earth. Those believers and trust in God, they're basically admitting right here that they are a bunch of sinners. That other lords besides you have ruled over us. What we're talking here is first commandment type breaking. You shall have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, as Luther explains in that commandment. Basically, whenever we put our faith and trust into something else, whenever something else captures our attention above and beyond what God has done, we are breaking this commandment. And isn't it interesting to note that Isaiah picks this up here in the song of the triumph on the last day? that those saints, so to speak, also are sinners. Those saints, so to speak, have also broken that first commandment. Those saints, so to speak, don't deserve God's gift of salvation. And I'm hoping you're saying, Pastor, you're really not telling us anything new. Because we don't deserve God's gift of salvation. That's why it is a gift. And what's so wonderful about this is not some special invention of the New Testament or something that Luther's the one discovered. You can go back to Isaiah and pick this up here. Oh Lord, our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us. Does that include those people who are our mentors? Yes. Does that include those people who have encouraged us in the faith? The answer is yes. Do those mean that those people who have died in the faith before us are also sinners? And the answer is yes. And this is the great and glorious news that we have. God dies on the cross, as we remember Jesus, for sinners. Too often in our world today, people struggle with this concept. They start thinking, in order to be a saint, you must be perfect. And actually, unfortunately, there are some denominations that go so far to teach that you will be perfect this side of heaven. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 13 says something different. It admits, we have fallen short of God's glory. Now let me back up one verse here. Because it says, Lord, you have established peace for us. Notice, who's the active agent? Who's the one who gives us true peace? It's not in the material things that I purchase and buy for myself or have acquired for myself. It is what the Lord has done for us. Again, the active agent is what God has done. Now notice that next line. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Oh, what a beautiful line here. Isaiah very correctly notes through the Holy Spirit and the people of Israel who are believing and trusting in God were supposed to be singing this song, basically saying, everything that I have accomplished, any good, is really because God is doing it through me. Now that is a testimony of faith. If you can actually sing those words and understand those words and say those words and mean those words, you are truly a saint. Yes, we all do various good things as a response of our faith. And for the Christian, this is like required. The Christian is supposed to have a response of the faith. But it's not to our own personal glory that this comes from. This is God working through us. Because verse 13 reminds us what we'd rather be doing. We'd rather be worshiping other gods, so to speak. So when we take a look at those saints, those people who have mentored us, those people who have died in the faith, it is very appropriate and fitting for us to realize, by the way, they're sinners too. Not that we want to belittle them, but in reality, that is where we really draw our strength. Let me put it this way. On this All Saints Day, as we're still Christians living this side of heaven, so to speak, how do we get the strength to face each and every day? How do we get the strength when our world seems to be falling apart? How do we get the strength to sort of say in the midst of devastation and disaster that, yes, I still believe and trust in God alone? The 2 points that we've already picked up is, one is it comes first of all from God. It doesn't start with us. And number two, it comes in the understanding that like the saints before us are now with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are with Him because they've also have fallen short of God's glory. But we have a Savior who forgives. You see, we draw strength not from our own works and doing. We draw strength, as Paul reminds us, from our own weakness. Our need for a Savior, and that's why Christ has come. So on All Saints Day, it's very appropriate for us to remember those who have died in the faith. It's very appropriate for us to remember that, yes, they had various wonderful works in response to that faith. But it's also very appropriate for us to remember that they are forgiven sinners, just like you and just like me. Where they drew their strength is the same place where we need to draw our strength, not from our own doing, but from God and God above. Let's continue on with Isaiah. The song goes on to say, "But your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy." It gives us a little bit of that picture, as we remember in Genesis. God creating, taking dust, creating man. As in an Ash Wednesday, we remember with the disposition of ashes, from dust you are, to dust you shall return. But out of that dust, what will happen? We will have glorified bodies. We will be raised again because of our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text then continues. "Go, my people, into your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourself for a little while." Yes, there was going to be a time of judgment for the people of Israel. They were going to be put into exile. Their city was going to be ransacked and ruined. And as Christians, while we're still living on this side of heaven, fair enough, we don't have to go too far in our own lives to find our own version of devastation, so to speak, when things don't go the way that we plan it, when things seem to be falling apart around us. But it's only for a little while. God doesn't forget His promises, but will keep that. Our text continues, "See, the Lord is coming out of His dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins." Yes. "The earth will disclose the blood shed upon her. She will conceal her slain no longer." Yes, this text does remind us that, unfortunately, not everyone is going to be with God in heaven above. There are those people who don't put their faith and trust in God. There are those people who, in the midst of devastation and turmoil, have turned their back on God in anger and saying, "Why have you done this?" And typically when they do this, it's because they're trusting in the things around them instead of entrusting in the words of what God's Word says to them. There's no perfect life in this world. There is a perfect Savior. So this day, as the church remembers All Saints Day, as we remember God delivers on His promises, we ask the Lord to continue to send His Holy Spirit upon us, to continue to remind us the forgiveness of sins that we have in Him alone, to continue to remind us that our way to eternal life is not by how many toys we've gathered this side of earth, or how pleasant our life is this side of earth, but what God has done for us, our faith, our trust in His promises. That's the key that will open the gate that the righteous nation may enter. Our righteousness doesn't come from what we have done. It comes from what God has done for us. So this day we rejoice with the church throughout all ages. Because as we remember the All Saints Day, as we remember, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, the communion of saints, we are connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, part of His body that connects us to all the saints throughout all time and eternity. We give great praise and thanks to what God has done, as God will raise us on that last day for all who believe and trust in His promises, not because of how good we have been, but because of the forgiveness of sins that He has given to us. So the church rejoices this day as we remember All Saints Day. We also remember, while we still struggle this side of eternity, that we ask the Lord for His continued strength to help us overcome the various obstacles that sin and temptation and the devil put before us, so that in that last day, we will be with the saints triumphant, singing and giving our praise and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.